Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we're going to crack open Exodus chapter 2, go way beyond that baby in a basket version most people know. We've got some sources that really bring this story to life, revealing hidden depths to Moses' origins. So, expert speaker, our listeners ready for some aha moments? What are some of the less obvious details in this chapter that paint a more complete picture?
It's interesting how the chapter sets the scene, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't just begin with that baby floating in the Nile. It kind of thrusts us right into the heart of the Israelite struggle. Pharaoh feeling threatened by their expanding population.
Yeah.
Issues that horrific decree to eliminate all newborn Hebrew boys.
Wow. So it's not just cruelty, it's calculated, right? Pharaoh's using fear to control the Israelites. But wouldn't that make the Hebrew families even more determined to resist?
Oh, absolutely. It really highlights that desperate situation they faced and the immense courage it took for Moses' mother, Jochebed, to defy that order. She didn't just hide them away. She crafted a waterproof basket and placed it strategically where Pharaoh's daughter bathed. I mean, that takes serious faith and cunning.
Yeah. Talk about a high-stakes gamble. What if the plan had backfired?
It certainly was a risk, but the text really emphasizes that she trusted in a power greater than Pharaoh. And let's not forget Miriam, Moses' sister. You know, she's often just depicted as watching from the reeds. But the source highlights her proactive role. When Pharaoh's daughter discovers the basket, Miriam steps in, ensuring their own mother becomes Moses' wet nurse, right under Pharaoh's nose.
Wow, talk about thinking on your feet. It shows that even amidst oppression, there's still room for ingenuity and fighting for family. But this raises a question for me. Moses grows up in the lap of luxury, right, while his people suffer. Expert speaker, the source calls this a unique and complex perspective. What kind of impact psychologically might that have had on him? Are there any historical figures who faced a similar internal struggle?
That's a fascinating question. Imagine that internal conflict, receiving the best education, enjoying privilege, yet knowing your own people are enduring forced labor. This isn't just an ancient tale. This echoes through history. You know, think of figures like Frederick Douglass, born into slavery, but raised in a white household. These experiences often create a unique understanding of both sides of the power dynamic, fueling a desire for change.
That makes a lot of sense. This privileged upbringing wasn't just happenstance. It was shaping the future liberator. So Moses is straddling these two worlds. But then as an adult, he witnesses an Egyptian overseer beating a Hebrew slave. And he doesn't just stand by. He intervenes, kills the Egyptian, and flees to Midian. What does this drastic action tell us about Moses at this point in his life?
It's a turning point. You know, this isn't a passive prince. He's clearly inherited his mother's courage, her willingness to defy injustice, but it's also impulsive, revealing that he hasn't fully grasped the weight of his actions or his role in the grand scheme of things. The flight to Midian suggests both a fear of consequences and a need to process what he's done, who he is.
So he's running away, but also maybe running towards something, a deeper understanding of himself and his purpose. This brings us to Midian, right? A world away from the Egyptian palaces. The source mentions him becoming a shepherd, which seems like a massive downshift. How might this experience have been more than just hiding out? Could tending sheep have actually prepared him for leadership?
It's a really compelling thought. Shepherding requires patience, resilience, and a deep understanding of nature's rhythms. It's not glamorous, but it builds character. Look at modern leadership programs. A lot of them incorporate wilderness retreats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Challenging participants to face their limitations, find inner strength. Midian could have been Moses' leadership crucible, stripping away his princely ego, forging the grit he'd need to guide a nation.
That's a really interesting point. Leadership isn't always about commanding armies. Sometimes it's about tending to those entrusted to you, learning to listen, to endure. It's like the seemingly insignificant detail is actually a key part of Moses' transformation.
Yeah, and that transformation is far from over. Because while Moses is in Midian, back in Egypt, the cries of the Israelites under forced labor haven't gone unnoticed.
And this is where the personal becomes epic. We've gone from a baby's rescue to the forging of a leader, and now it seems we're on the verge of something much bigger.
That's where we'll pick up in part two of our deep dive. We'll explore how those cries of suffering set in motion a chain of events that will change the course of history. Stay with us.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Welcome back to our deep dive into Exodus chapter 2. When we left off, Moses was in Midian, seemingly a world away from the struggles of his people. But as we know, their suffering hadn't gone unheard.
Right. Those cries of anguish, they reached a higher power. And that's where the story takes a dramatic turn. Moses is tending Jethro's flock near Mount Horeb. When he encounters, A sight that would make anyone stop and stare. A bush engulfed in flames, yet not consumed by them.
Okay, even for a story from the Bible, that's pretty intense imagery. It's got to be more than just a random wildfire, right?
Yeah.
What's the deeper meaning behind this burning bush?
Well, it's a powerful visual representation of God's presence, a sign that can't be ignored. But here's where it gets really interesting. God speaks to Moses from the bush, revealing his name, Yahweh, and laying out his plan for Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt.
Talk about a life-altering moment. This is the shepherd who fled Egypt in fear, now being called back to confront the most powerful ruler in the known world. How does Moses react to this divine mission? Does he just accept it like, okay, cool, I'll go free a nation?
Well, the source points out that Moses doesn't exactly jump for joy. You know, he voices his doubts, his anxieties. He even questions his own abilities, suggests that God choose, you know, someone else.
That's so human. It makes him instantly relatable. Here's this guy chosen by God. And even he feels overwhelmed by the task. How does God respond to Moses' hesitation? Does he, like, lay down the law?
What's fascinating is that God doesn't get angry or dismissive. Instead, he reassures Moses, promises to be with him every step of the way. He even provides Moses with signs to prove his authority, both to the Israelites and to Pharaoh.
So it's not just a command, it's a partnership, a divine support system. This brings us to one of the most well-known parts of the Exodus story, the plagues of Egypt. Expert speaker, our source mentions God giving Moses specific instructions on how to demonstrate his power to Pharaoh. Why go through all this? What makes the plague so important?
Well, the plagues weren't just random acts of chaos. They were a calculated series of events, each one targeting a specific aspect of Egyptian life. Think of it as a showdown between Yahweh and the Egyptian gods. Each plague is a blow to Pharaoh's authority and a testament to God's power over nature.
Okay, so let's unpack that. We've got the Nile turning to blood, infestations of frogs and locusts, hailstorms, darkness covering the land for days. It's like a disaster movie, but with a message.
Exactly. And each plague hits at what the Egyptians held sacred. The Nile, you know, their source of life and prosperity, becomes a symbol of death. Their gods, believed to control nature, are shown to be powerless against Yahweh.
So it's not just about inflicting suffering. It's about dismantling the Egyptian worldview, brick by brick. But Pharaoh doesn't budge easily, does he? With all this happening around him, why does he remain defiant?
Well, this goes to the heart of power. Pharaoh's entire identity is built on his control over the Israelites. Releasing them would mean admitting defeat, shattering his image of absolute power. He's clinging to that control even as his world crumbles.
It's a classic struggle, man's will versus divine power, but the stakes keep rising with each plague. Expert speaker, our source points to the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, as the final crushing blow. Why was this one so different?
Well, this plague goes beyond disrupting daily life. It strikes at the future of Egypt, targeting the most vulnerable. It also brings the story full circle, echoing Pharaoh's initial decree to kill Hebrew baby boys. The cruelty he inflicted is now turned back on him, poetically, tragically.
And this is where we get the concept of Passover, right? It's not just about death, but also about protection for those who have faith.
Absolutely. God instructs the Israelites to mark their doorposts with lamb's blood so that the angel of death will pass over their homes. This act of obedience and faith ensures their survival. Amidst the devastation, it's a powerful moment, foreshadowing the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God.
Okay.
But even after this, Pharaoh still hesitates.
So what finally breaks him?
It's the cumulative weight of it all. Imagine the grief, the economic chaos, the realization that his power is utterly insignificant compared to Yahweh's. He's forced to confront the consequences of his choices, his heart hardened for so long. Only then does he relent.
So it's a long, hard road to freedom, even with divine intervention. The Israelites finally escape, led by Moses. But expert speaker, the source mentions Pharaoh having a change of heart again. He chases after them with his army. What's going on here?
Well, this shows how change, even when ordained by God, is rarely neat and tidy. Pharaoh, likely realizing the full impact of losing his workforce, regrets his decision. He's still trying to cling to power, even though the tide has turned.
Yeah, it's like he's fighting a losing battle, unable to fully grasp that the old order is crumbling. This sets us up for one of the most iconic moments in the Exodus story, the parting of the Red Sea. What can you tell us about this miraculous event, expert speaker?
Okay, picture this. The Israelites, having just escaped, find themselves trapped between the sea and Pharaoh's approaching army. It's a moment of utter terror. But then God acts. Moses, following divine instruction, stretches out his hand, and the impossible happens. The waters divide, creating a dry path for the Israelites to escape.
It's an image that has captivated people for centuries, that feeling of hope amidst despair, of divine power over seemingly insurmountable obstacles. What happens to the Egyptians? Do they just give up and go home?
Well, as the Israelites safely cross, the waters rush back, engulfing the pursuing army. It's a decisive victory for the Israelites, solidifying their freedom and showcasing God's unwavering protection. It's a message that even when things seem hopeless, divine intervention can occur in the most awe-inspiring ways.
What a powerful moment. But expert speaker, I'm curious. We've seen how Moses' time as a shepherd seems to have shaped him into the leader he needed to be. Is there another detail in this part of the story that you find particularly significant, something that might often be overlooked?
Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into Exodus chapter 2. It's been quite a journey so far, from a baby's dramatic rescue to the parting of the Red Sea. We've seen God's power on full display. But, expert speaker, amidst all the epic events, I keep coming back to something you mentioned earlier about how Moses' time as a shepherd might have been crucial to his development as a leader. I'm wondering if there's more to unpack there.
Yeah, you're right. That period in Midian is often glossed over, seen as just, you know, a pause between Moses' dramatic escape and his return to Egypt. But when we dig a little deeper, we can see how those years spent tending sheep could have been a profound training ground for the challenges he was about to face.
So it wasn't just about hiding out. It was almost like a leadership boot camp. But instead of drills and lectures, it was sheep in solitude.
Exactly.
Shepherding isn't for the faint of heart. It demands patience, resilience, the ability to anticipate needs, to protect those in your care. Imagine the long days under the desert sun, the nights guarding the flock from predators, the constant awareness of that delicate balance between providing for the sheep and respecting the rhythms of nature.
Yeah, it sounds more like a metaphor for leadership than a job description. You know, you're not just giving orders. You're serving, protecting, guiding. Those aren't qualities you pick up in a palace.
Precisely. Those years in Midian could have been instrumental in stripping away any remaining princely ego, forcing Moses to confront his own limitations, to cultivate the humility and empathy he'd need to lead a nation. It's like the wilderness itself was refining him, preparing him for the even greater wilderness he and the Israelites were about to face.
That's a powerful image. It makes you wonder if sometimes the most unexpected experiences, the ones that seem like detours or setbacks, are actually crucial to shaping us into the people we're meant to be.
It's a theme that echoes through so many stories, both ancient and modern. Sometimes that path to our destiny winds through unfamiliar landscapes, forcing us to rely on strengths we didn't know we had. In Moses' case, it seems that tending sheep was an essential part of becoming the shepherd of a nation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Exodus chapter 2, we've gone from a baby's dramatic rescue to the parting of the Red Sea. We've explored those complex dynamics of power, the struggle for freedom, and the enduring power of faith. But perhaps the most important takeaway is that even seemingly insignificant details can hold profound meaning.
It's a reminder to pay attention to the nuances, the seemingly small events that shape individuals, and ultimately history itself. Just as Moses' time as a shepherd prepared him for his extraordinary destiny, our own experiences, even the challenging or unexpected ones, can contribute to our growth and prepare us for the unique roles we're called to play in the world.
That's an incredible thought to leave our listener with. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Exodus chapter 2. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep discovering the hidden depths in every story in the